Hello, Martin Griffin is my name. I'm a volunteer with the Lartigue Monorail here in Listowel. And in 2003, I suppose because of my interest in collecting items from the railway, I was asked to come here as a volunteer. And I'm here ever since. So I basically worked up from being a guard on the train, right up to driver, and eventually station master and safety officer with the Lartigue here.
Okay, tell us a bit about the Lartigue monorail.
So the Listowel and Ballyburnin Railway ran from Listowel to Ballyburnin actually from 1888 to 1924, and at the time people were only get could only get to Ballyburnin by horse and cart, the pony and trap or whatever. So the introduction of a railway to Ballyburnin was a major factor, both from a tourist point of view, to get people into Ballyburnin for the beaches and also for people playing golf in Ballyburnin, because the mainline railway came in here in 1880, so people could travel to Listowel by rail and then transfer to the Listowel and Ballyburnin Railway. So it boosted tourism in no big way at all in Ballyburnin, from a point of view of the beaches and for playing people wanting to play golf.
So there's obviously a big story behind this monorail. So where does it all begin?
Well, the railway itself, that ran for, as I say, the Civil War and the War of Independence here in Kerry, done so much damage to the railway that by 1924 they had no option but to close and scrap the whole thing, which was an absolute disgrace. At the time, people were saying they should have kept at least a mile of it as a tourist attraction. That didn't happen. So the whole idea of a railway in a monorail being here in Kerry again was scrapped. But locally here in Ballinagown, in just outside Listowel, in a place called Liselton, there was a man named Michael Barry. And for many, many years, Michael had such an interest in the Listowel and Ballyburnin Railway, he decided to start collecting items that were still left around Listowel, Ballyburnin, Liselton area. And so for many years, Michael kept the memory of the Lartigue alive. And it was a chance meeting then between our chairman, Jimmy Deanahan, and Michael, and they came up with the idea, why not bring the Lartigue back? So a committee was put together then to see what options they had open to them. They collected money, and in 2003 they opened the railway here. So we have a replica engine of the original and two carriages. And in 2008, in the mainline goods store here in Listowel, was opened as a museum as well. So from then we're just building up the whole time, collecting artifacts from both the Lartigue and from mainline railway. And the interest in railways all over the world is unbelievable. And I think more especially with the likes of Germans and Polish visitors, they're just fascinated with the idea of a railway that travels on one track. It's just, to a lot of people, they can't figure out how come it can travel on one track without tipping over and all the rest of it. So it's the technical side of it that interests an awful lot of people. So ever since it opened in 2003, we've been successful enough, but unfortunately COVID then put a bit of a damper on that. But it's an ill wind, because throughout COVID it gave me an opportunity to remodel the museum, because I was here on my own. We have an absolute brilliant CE scheme working here with backing us up. They were stood down because of COVID, and it gave me a chance to work here in the museum on my own. And the museum is now at a level where we think is more presentable to people and more interesting for people to sort out the, check out the items that's on display in the museum.
Speaking of those items on display, there's a lot of things here. Talk to us about what you can find in the museum.
Most of the things that we have here would be to do with Irish Rail, British Rail, and of course the monorail as well. We even have a traction engine that was built by our resident engineer here, Pat Broadbent. And That was under steam originally, but unfortunately now it's decommissioned because it's not certified to be taken out. There's buttons, there's, how do I say, lamps, all the different types of lamps, signalling equipment. We have a mock signal cabin that houses a lot of items that would have been used in one of the any of the mainline railways. Back, another big feature with the museum is that in 1912, Marconi, who discovered the radio, he wanted to build a radio station in Ballybunnan. So the Stirling Ballybunnan Railway agreed to take all the equipment for the radio station out to Ballybunnan, except the generator, which was so heavy it couldn't be balanced on the monorail system. So they decided to take it by road using a traction engine. But unfortunately, about a mile outside Listowel, it sunk into the road.
Oh my God.
Which would indicate to you how bad the roads were at the time and why they needed a railway in the first place. And eventually they started to use steel plates and moved on a couple of metres every day, putting the steel plates on, and eventually after 3 weeks, they got the transformer out to Ballybunnan, and he opened the railway at the
radio station
in 1912. And in 1919, Marconi made the first transatlantic call from Ballybunnan to Nova Scotia, and which was unusual. People in Ballybunnan, I suppose, kept that alive for many, many years. But then in 1924, the radio station closed down. And in 2019, because it was coming up to the 100th anniversary of it, Princess Marconi, which was a daughter of Marconi, she came to Ballybunnan and actually made a call from Ballybunnan to Nova Scotia on the 100th anniversary of the first call made by her father. So it was iconic, but it was lovely to think then that there's a connection between the radio station in Ballybunnan, the Listowel Ballybunnan Railway, and now back here to the museum again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have a few pictures above, and you have old radios themselves up there as well. So
we have some bits from the radio station that were survived by a local man here, Michael Gearn. So they're on call, and by pure accident, we just thought, you know, we'll put in a couple of telephones in. And so the telephones now actually turn out to be a big feature, with young kids ringing each other up from one side of the museum to the other, because a lot of young people today wouldn't have seen the ordinary phones. It's all mobile phones. Technology has taken over a small bit. But no, there's a great interest in, we'll say, the radio side of it, the mainline railway, and of course the Stirling Ballybunnan Railway itself. In 2013, because the first loco ever built by Lartigue was demonstrated near London, and that's how he started to get the interest in monorails off the ground. And the first loco he ever built was only 2.5 ton weight, and it was nicknamed the Coffee Pot. And that was brought here to build the railway from Listowel to Ballybunnan, and they then suddenly realised that a much heavier type of engine was required. So three engines were built by the Hunslet Engine Company in Leeds, and they were brought over. And that small engine, the Coffee Pot, was scrapped. But before it was taken out of Listowel, a local family that worked on the Listowel and Ballybunnan Railway called Hollyoaks, Joe Hollyoak, he took the plate off, a brass plate off of it. So the brass plate would have been from the first loco built in 1886.
Wow.
And the family wanted to hold on to that as a momentum. But in 2013, then a great-grandson of Joe Hollyoak handed the brass plate over to us. And we have that here on display as well. It's like gold dust to have that piece, because it's the oldest piece we have in the museum at the moment. We also have, so many years back, a bit of footage, about 5 minutes long, really, but it's invaluable insofar as that it gives you lovely, to film the 1916, it shows you how rocky and shaky the original train was. Mm-hmm. It shows you how people were dressed back in 1916. And that bit of film was found in America, the Ford Motor Company that had it, and it was by pure accident. The girl went working there and recognised the name Belly Bunnan.
Wow.
From the bit of footage, and we now have it here to show to our visitors.
That's,
as well.
That's amazing the way you rediscover. Like, do you find it hard to get pieces to bring into the museum?
Not really. About 5 or 6 years ago here, a group of ex-railway, CIE, or really Irish Rail workers came here. And one of those by the name of Mick Egan, he's outside Tralee, he said to me, I have bits and pieces for you, Martin. He said, you want them? I said, God, of course, I'll take anything. And since that, Mick has been bringing items to me. And what happens here, the stuff that comes in, if it's not presentable, the CE scheme, bring them back to life and below in the local shed, and then we get them up on display. But Mick, as I say, has been an invaluable source of pieces of how he knows where there's railway stuff, basically. Mm-hmm. He knows people that has railway stuff. So he's constantly on the lookout for items for us. We're very grateful to Mick as well for his help.
Martin, you're obviously a volunteer here. What is it that you love about this place?
Well, volunteering, I had a heart attack in 2002, and I think my health went downhill a small bit from that. I kind of lost interest a small bit in life. And when I was asked to come here in 2003, because I had an interest in railways, I just think it gave me my life back. Because when you come in volunteering with a group like this, more volunteers and the CE scheme, you can be part of a bigger family, and each other helping each other out with problems and all the rest of it. So it's like a club, if you like. Mm-hmm. People that work here, it's like a big club. And I had an interest in, when the museum opened, putting the museum together, I have an interest in carpentry. Mm-hmm. So it gave me an opportunity to apply my skills, the bit of skills that I have on carpentry. But it's just the absolute interest in saving items from the railway, because if we don't have a place like this to save these items that will be there for generations to come, all these items would have gone into a skip years ago.
Yeah.
And the young people coming up today won't even remember what these items would have looked like, because railways have gone so modern now with high-speed travel and all the rest of it. So being part of a team here is just basically giving me my life back, if I can explain it that way to you.
That sounds absolutely beautiful as well. Now, you also have like a mock-up of the train outside. How does that work, and what do people think of it?
What we have outside is a replica engine. It's exactly in detail the same as the original. The big difference is the original was driven under steam, but to drive a train or have a heritage railway train under steam would be way, way too expensive. And that was seen by the team or the committee that was put together. So they decided to go for a diesel engine. So what we have is a 28 horsepower diesel engine in it. It's the same in every way. It travels on one track with guide rails and all the rest of it. And we have two carriages then that will take 40 adults or 50 children. And the fascinating thing about that, what people love, is that when too many people get on one side, they love the idea of being taken off one side and brought over. They're just fascinated with the idea that you can't just hop everybody on one side. They have to be balanced properly. Mm-hmm. So there's a bit of fun and interaction with visitors because of that. They're just absolutely fascinated with the whole idea of it. I mean, the modern day train, you hop on and you're gone in a couple of minutes, but the balance here has to be spot on. And of course, children love coming in then, because they get to blow the whistle on the train and all the rest of it. They want to take their photographs on it. But and we've been very lucky now with local schools. They do projects on it. So They start to do a project, they bring them here, then it helps with their projects and all the rest of it. And no, overall, we've been very, very lucky from a tourist point of view. But COVID did put a bit of a damper on us. We were cut for money. But luckily, Kerry County Council didn't have come behind us and made a donation towards our insurance costs so that we could open, because you couldn't open without insurance.
Of course. Mm. Finally, what does a place like this mean to Listowel?
Well, when we were closed, I don't know how, I'd meet hundreds of people on a daily basis on the street wanting to know what's happening above. Even one woman said to me, Martin, if we don't get that railway open, she said, because of financial worries, I'm going to walk around the stall with a bucket and collect money to get it open. So it just goes to show you that there is a great love of between the townspeople and the railway, because, well, we lost the mainline railway and we lost the Lartigue here. So, but people understand as well that tourists come here to visit the railway, they're going to go downtown, they're going to go for a bite to eat, buy stuff in shops and all the rest of it. So it is a great bonus to Listowel to have it here. And hopefully now with the new bypass that's coming in, the traffic will have to pass our door, so hopefully we will gain from that as well. Plus the greenway that's hopefully will be open at the end of this year. We're also hoping that that will bring more tourists back into the town as well.
Who knows, you might be at the end of the greenway to bring people on the train back into Listowel then.
Financially impossible, unfortunately, but whatever. We'll dream on.
Martin, thank you very much.
Thank, not a problem.